Nadia and Ravi divorced in Olympia. Nadia has sole custody of their daughter, and Ravi has not seen the child or paid support in 3 years. Nadia marries Sam, who wants to adopt. Sam is willing, Nadia is willing, and the judge agrees the child would be better off. Is that enough? No. A loving home does not cure a missing parent's rights. Before Sam can adopt, Ravi's rights must be cleared. Either he consents, or a court terminates them on a statutory ground. Best interests is the last question in this topic. Never the first. Today, the three tools the state uses to rearrange who is legally responsible for a child and the order they have to run in. Here is the route. First, the spectrum the three tools sit on. Then, termination, including the two pieces the outline says to recall cold. Which court has power to terminate, and what a valid voluntary surrender takes. Then, guardianship, the gentlest tool. Then, adoption, and the consent question that decides most of these cases. Start with the constitutional fact that organizes everything. Parents have a fundamental right to the care, custody, and control of their children, and courts presume a fit parent acts in the child's best interest. But sometimes the state must rearrange who is legally responsible for a child, and it has three tools on a spectrum from gentlest to most drastic. Guardianship adds a caretaker without cutting the parents off. Termination subtracts a parent permanently, and nothing about it is reversible. Adoption swaps in brand new parents as if the child had been born to them. Because the parental right is fundamental, the more drastic the action, the more process the state owes. Ending the relationship forever is the civil death penalty of family law, so the Constitution demands heightened proof. Try it. A grandmother needs authority to enroll a child in school while the parents keep their rights. Which tool? Guardianship. A caregiver wants a permanent change that severs the old relationship. Guardianship or adoption? Adoption, and only after the existing rights are cleared. One structural note before the details. In this app, family law is a provided law subject. You will usually be handed the governing statute, and your job is to spot the issue and apply it. But two pieces the outline marks recall cold: the jurisdiction to terminate parental rights and the consent requirement for a voluntary termination. Termination first. It permanently and completely severs the legal relationship between parent and child. The parent loses custody, visitation, and decision-making. The ongoing obligations end, and the child becomes legally free to be adopted. It comes in two forms. Voluntary, where the parent consents, usually as part of an adoption plan. And involuntary, where the state proves statutory grounds over the parent's objection. Now the first recall cold piece. Jurisdiction, meaning which court has power to decide this child's case. Two frameworks control. The Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction and Enforcement Act treats a termination as a child custody proceeding. So the home state rules that govern custody govern termination. The forum is the child's home state, where the child has lived with a parent for the 6 consecutive months before filing. That act gives a ladder, worked in order. Home state first, the 6-month rule, or from birth if the child is under 6 months old. If no state qualifies, then significant connection. A state where the child and a parent have a significant connection and substantial evidence is available. Then a more appropriate forum, as a last resort. And once a court makes that initial determination, it keeps exclusive, continuing jurisdiction until the child and the parents have effectively left the state. The second framework moves the forum entirely. Who is an Indian child? A member of a federally recognized tribe, or someone eligible for membership, who is the biological child of a member. For that child, the Indian Child Welfare Act reassigns jurisdiction. If the child lives on tribal land or is already a ward of a tribal court, the tribe's court generally has exclusive jurisdiction. If the child lives off reservation, a state court may hear the case, but it must transfer to tribal court on request. Three things can stop that: a parent objects, the tribe declines, or there is good cause to keep it. Either way, the tribe and the parent get notice. Treat any hint of tribal heritage as a signal that this act is in play. Second, recall cold peace. Voluntary termination, sometimes called a relinquishment or surrender. A parent may choose to give up their rights, but because the stakes are so high, the consent must be knowing and voluntary. Knowing means the parent understands they are permanently ending the legal relationship. Voluntary means free of duress, fraud, or undue pressure. States surround it with safeguards. The consent must usually be in writing, often executed before a judge or after counseling. A birth mother generally cannot consent before the child is born, and many states add a post-birth waiting period. There is usually a short window to revoke, and courts will not let a parent surrender rights simply to escape child support. Now, involuntary termination, and the state starts uphill. The law presumes a parent is fit, and that right blocks the state from taking a child just because a judge thinks another home would be better. To overcome the presumption, the state must prove a statutory ground by clear and convincing evidence. A middle burden, higher than the everyday more likely than not. The Due Process Clause requires that heightened standard because the interest is so weighty. And proving a ground is only step one. The court must then separately find termination is in the child's best interests. Best interests alone can never justify it. Grounds first, then best interests. One more guardrail because it surprises people. There is no automatic right to appointed counsel in a termination. An indigent parent's right to a free lawyer is decided case by case, by balancing the interests at stake. What grounds will a statute list? Abandonment, abuse, or chronic neglect. Failure to support or maintain contact with a child in care. Failure to remedy the conditions that led to removal. An unfitness unlikely to change. And aggravating facts, such as a prior involuntary termination as to a sibling. Federal law adds a clock. Under the Adoption and Safe Families Act, the agency generally must file to terminate once a child has been in foster care for 15 of the most recent 22 months. Three exceptions. The child is with a relative, the agency documents a compelling reason, or the state failed to provide the services in the case plan. That act also requires reasonable efforts to reunify, excused in aggravated circumstances. Now, see the provided law task, because this is what the exam hands you. Under Franklin's Section 40-7, a court may terminate only on two findings. At least one statutory ground, proved by clear and convincing evidence, and a separate finding that termination is in the child's best interests. The listed grounds include abandonment for 6 months or longer, and failure for 1 year after removal to remedy the conditions. Apply it. A Franklin agency removed two children after documented neglect and gave the mother a year of services to secure stable housing and address substance use. A year on, the conditions persist. The agency must prove a ground, here, failure to remedy the conditions of removal, by clear and convincing evidence, not a mere preponderance, and must show it made reasonable efforts. Only then does the court reach the separate best interests question. Change one fact, and the analysis shifts. If this were an Indian family, the Indian Child Welfare Act does more than move the forum. It makes termination much harder to prove. The ordinary floor is clear and convincing evidence. That act demands proof beyond a reasonable doubt, the criminal standard, that continued custody by the parent is likely to seriously harm the child. And that proof must include the testimony of a qualified expert witness familiar with the tribe's social and cultural standards. The state must also show active efforts, a more demanding duty than ordinary reasonable efforts. The Supreme Court upheld the act against constitutional challenge in 2023, so these heightened rules remain fully in force. Hold the three standards side by side. An ordinary involuntary termination takes clear and convincing evidence. Terminating as to an Indian child takes proof beyond a reasonable doubt, with qualified expert testimony and active efforts. A foster care placement of an Indian child takes clear and convincing evidence, again, with expert testimony and active efforts.
Second tool, guardianship, and it sits at the gentle end. It gives a non-parent legal authority to care for a child when the parents cannot or will not. A home, medical consent, decisions about education. The defining feature is what it does not do. It does not terminate parental rights. The parent's legal status survives, and the arrangement can usually be modified or ended. Two flavors. Guardianship of the person covers care and custody. Guardianship of the estate covers the child's property. It shows up when a parent has died, is temporarily unavailable through deployment or hospitalization, is incapacitated, or when parents voluntarily give a relative authority. Watch the provided statute again. Even without consent, a court generally may not hand a child to a non-parent over a fit parent's objection just because the non-parent offers a nicer home. Under Colombia's Section 15-204, a court may appoint a guardian on any of three findings. Both parents consent. Their rights were suspended by a prior order, or no parent is willing and able, proved by clear and convincing evidence. See at work. A Colombia mother is deployed overseas for a year, and the child's grandmother petitions to be appointed guardian. The court can grant it, giving the grandmother authority to enroll the child in school and approve medical care. The mother's rights are not terminated, so when she returns, she can petition to end the guardianship. Two mix-ups to avoid. A guardian of the person is not a guardian ad litem. A guardian ad litem speaks for a child's best interests inside a lawsuit and does not take the child home. And guardianship is not adoption. It leaves parental rights intact and is generally reversible. Third tool, adoption, the mirror image of termination. Instead of ending a parent-child relationship, it creates one. A decree makes the adopting adult the child's legal parent for every purpose, as though the child had been born to them, which is why it has a prerequisite. The existing rights must first be cleared, by consent or by an involuntary termination. The pathway runs in five steps. Screen the prospective parents and complete a home study. Clear the existing rights. Place the child. Hold a final hearing on best interests. And enter the decree, which triggers a new birth certificate while the original is sealed. Step two of that list is where most disputes live. Whose consent does the law require? The birth mother's, almost always. A legal or presumed father's. An older child's, in many states, once the child reaches a set age, and an unwed biological father's, but only on a condition. That condition is the tested one. A mere biological link gives a father no constitutional veto. He holds an opportunity interest instead. If he promptly grasps the chance to act like a parent, his consent becomes required, and he can block the adoption. That means coming forward, establishing paternity, supporting the child, and registering where a putative father registry exists. If he sleeps on it, his consent can be dispensed with. Consent is dispensed with when rights have already been terminated, or when the parent has abandoned the child, is found unfit, or meets a statutory ground for proceeding without it. And eligibility rules cannot cross constitutional lines. Married and unmarried individuals and same-sex couples are eligible on the same terms as anyone else. Know the common types by name: agency, independent, step-parent, second parent, kinship, and adult adoption, where the adoptee's own consent controls. And two footnotes. A few courts apply equitable adoption for inheritance purposes when someone promised to adopt but never finished. And the modern trend has loosened the old record-sealing rules. After the decree, the effects are sweeping. The adopted child is treated as the natural child of the adoptive parents for every legal purpose. The relationship to the birth parents is replaced, not added to. So the child generally inherits from the adoptive family and loses inheritance from the birth family. The exception is step-parent and second-parent adoption. The Act shapes adoption too. For an Indian child, a court must follow its placement preferences in order. A member of the child's extended family, then other members of the tribe, then other Indian families, absent good cause to depart. Which brings us back to Nadia, Ravi, and Sam. Ravi's rights must be cleared. Either he consents or the court terminates them, and his long absence is a likely statutory ground. Only then does the court reach best interests. If both are satisfied, the decree makes Sam a legal parent as if by birth, and Nadia's tie to her daughter is untouched. A word on authorities, because this episode named no cases, and that was deliberate. The law here lives in three statutes: the Uniform Child Custody, Jurisdiction, and Enforcement Act, the Adoption and Safe Families Act, and the Indian Child Welfare Act, plus whatever state code the exam hands you. Family law stays a provided law subject until July 2028. So if you keep only three things, keep these. Which court may terminate, because that is recall cold. What a valid voluntary surrender takes, because that is the other recall cold piece. And the order of operations: a proven ground first, best interests second. Now the traps. 1. Best interests is not enough. The state must first prove a statutory ground by clear and convincing evidence, and a fact pattern that terminates on more likely than not is wrong. 2. Any hint of tribal membership triggers the Indian Child Welfare Act, with proof beyond a reasonable doubt, qualified expert testimony, and active efforts. 3. There is no automatic right to appointed counsel in a termination. It is decided case by case. 4. A guardian of the person is not a guardian ad litem, and guardianship is not termination. Parents keep their rights and can usually undo it. 5. Best interests cannot substitute for a required consent either. A loving adoptive home does not cure a missing parent's rights. 6. A biological father's rights turn on whether he grasped his opportunity, not on biology alone. 7. In a step-parent adoption, only the non-custodial parent's rights are terminated. And 8. The adopted child inherits from the adoptive family and generally loses inheritance from the birth family. Time for the quick check, straight from the Bargo question bank. A 3-year-old child who is an enrolled member of a federally recognized tribe lives with his mother in a city far from any reservation. A county agency files in state court to terminate the mother's rights after removing the child for neglect. The child's tribe learns of the case and asks the state court to transfer the proceeding to the tribe's own court. The mother does not object, and the tribal court is willing to accept the case. The agency urges the state court to keep it. How should the court rule? Option 1. Deny the transfer, because the child lives off the reservation. Option 2. Grant the transfer only if the petitioning county agency consents. Option 3. Transfer the case, absent a parent's objection or good cause to keep it. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 3. Because the child is an Indian child, the act governs. A state court may hear a termination case for a child living off reservation, but it must transfer on request, unless a parent objects, the tribe declines, or there is good cause to retain it. No parent objects, and the tribe will take the case. Option 1 is wrong because off-reservation residence does not defeat transfer. That is exactly the situation the transfer rule addresses. Option 2 misplaces the veto. The petitioning agency's consent is irrelevant. It is a parent's objection or good cause that can block a transfer. 5 things to take away. 1. 3 tools on a spectrum. Guardianship adds a caretaker, termination subtracts a parent permanently, and adoption swaps in new ones. 2. Jurisdiction is recall cold. The home state governs a termination, and a child's tribal heritage can move the case to tribal court. 3. A voluntary surrender must be knowing and voluntary, usually written, not before birth, and revocable only within a short window. 4. An involuntary termination takes a proven statutory ground by clear and convincing evidence, and only then a separate best interests finding. 5. Adoption needs every required consent or a completed termination before best interests is even reached, which is why Sam cannot adopt until Ravi's rights are cleared, however good the new home is. Next time, working with provided wills and trusts law. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.